Hey there, Ruby fans. Welcome back to the Ruby After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight on Rooster Teeth Reviews, we are talking about Volume 6, Episode 13, Our Way. We're going to be breaking down the series finales, and guys, it's going to be a good time. And also, we have a big announcement for you guys, so be sure to stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Like we should be leaving.
I'm just so sad. Like, the season has finally come to an end. Mm-hmm. Oh, how did we get here? It went by so fast.
Oh, I meant they were playing the music they usually play us out on.
That's all. That's what I meant.
A little bit. It's a little different without those ripping guitars. But,
yeah.
Guys, we've got a lot to cover tonight, so let's not waste any time. Hello, Rooster Teeth fans. Welcome to our show. I'm going to go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. I'm Megan Salinas, and to my left is Mark Donica.
That's me.
So it is. To his left, Stacey Shuttleworth.
I'm also me.
To her left, Katie Cullen.
I'm someone else.
What?
Uh-oh.
Who are you then?
I'm a new person every day.
Every day?
Every day is a new day.
Huh. Well, I hope whoever you are, we get along great. Guys, we are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag RT Reviews, per usual. Mark and Katie have you guys covered on the live chat. We want to hear your guys' thoughts about this week's episode. This is also normally the part where I give a quick spiel about, hey guys, no spoilers, but no one has any spoilers for us right now. So
we're good.
So I guess just don't spoil other Rooster Teeth shows. No Genlock spoilers in the comments tonight. Don't be that guy.
Wait, we're not talking about Genlock? I thought there were giant mechs here.
Oh, no, not tonight. There is a mech, but it's not that mech. There you go. So, yeah, not tonight, Katie. Sadly, no.
I got them mexed up.
I hate you so much.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
You should be ashamed. Well, we've got a lot of content to get through tonight, guys. So let's not waste any time before we dig into the episode. And sadly, some of the controversy surrounding Rooster Teeth right now. We have a quick announcement for all you guys.
Yes. But before we start the show, we just want to let you know that we wanted to thank you for helping AfterBuzz be the ESPN of TV talk, but for the network to continue to grow, we ask your help. If you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you aren't listening on iTunes, give the show a 5-star rating. But no matter where you are, leave a comment so you can get involved in the conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant a lot to us. It's provided us a lot of opportunities over the years, and we wouldn't be anywhere where we are without you, the viewer. We truly appreciate all of the support that we have gotten from doing this show. Don't forget to tell your friends and keep enjoying the shows here at AfterBuzz TV.
Yes, it means a lot to you. It means a lot to us, you guys. You guys are the best.
Right?
If I can find my words. Okay, before we dig into the episode, we want to, like, normally we save news and gossip for the end of the show, but because it's been such a hot topic issue for a lot of people. Hot topic is not the word. It is not an issue that goes around shopping at Hot Topic. But we do need to talk about it. Vic Mignogna will no longer be voicing Crow Bronwyn on Ruby, pretty much effective immediately this week.
It was effective immediately.
Yeah,
per the post.
Yep. And this comes among the controversy about his behavior at a lot of conventions and about a lot of misconduct on his part. Here's the thing, guys. Regardless of where you stand on this particular controversy, the way the fandom is reacting to it is completely unacceptable. You should stand in solidarity with victims, and you should believe people when they come forward with their stories. Mm-hmm. That's my particular two cents on it. Mark, did you have anything you wanted to add?
I had a couple things, and I'll try to keep this as quick as possible. I am lucky enough to work with somebody that I've been admiring since I was a child. But in their younger years, they were accused of sexual misconduct. At the time, he 100% sided with his accuser. He did drugs. So there were times when he wasn't 100% in control of his faculties, and he didn't didn't know people's personal space, but he would also make appearances at various conventions. These accusations did turn out to be fake, but that didn't change his stance on it. He 100%, even when it comes to relating to him, 100% stands with the accuser. And that's something that I've always done. And because you never know whether it's something that was started as a quote unquote for the lols, it's provided an opportunity for people to speak out against it and for people to go, oh, now I can have maybe not necessarily my piece, but now I can say all of this stuff that I've been keeping. And I can't imagine the people that are coming out in solidarity with the accused, because you can't possibly put yourself in the shoes of those people. Literally every single person has different anxietal trigger points, different panic points, and not necessarily in the situation exactly, but for myself, I'm a large man. I'm a 6'4", 275-pound man, and I get anxious in small spaces because I tend to feel like I physically don't fit in stuff, and a lot of people's eyes are glued to me because I don't fit. I was having a panic attack at the National History Museum on Sunday, and I was there with my wife and my mother-in-law, and I was so wound up that if my mother-in-law had come into my personal space without, like, saying, hey, or me acknowledging that, I probably would have popped her. Like,
no.
That's just to say that you don't know whether it's that day or that month or that year or that life, what these people are going through. And you can't invalidate that experience. And it's so childish. And what kind of a porcelain tower do you live on to where you can't empathize with people? I don't know if I should keep going because we have a limited time.
It's okay. I said on Twitter earlier this week, you don't get to decide how other people feel when their space is violated. And you should respect that. Stacey, do you have any thoughts?
Believe victims. And in the case of this especially, and there are so many people who have come forward, but even if it was just one person, everyone is worth listening to. And in a lot of these cases, it happened years and years ago at conventions. It's just being overly friendly.
Boys will be boys.
Ah, fuck.
And there goes Mark.
Sorry. Sorry.
The thing I want to just touch on here is that when you are at a convention, especially as a young fan, and you get to meet one of your idols, and they do something that's a little too much, you're so caught up in the moment that you don't necessarily think about that until later. So people who are now thinking back on these experiences and going, oh yeah, no, that was not okay, you're allowed to have that revelation. And being swept away in the moment does not invalidate your experience or make it so that, you know, you were fine with it, so it's not a problem.
It's almost like there's 15 years of evidence. So you have all been a lot nicer about, a lot more polite about this than I was ever planning on being. For one, 110%, oh my God, believe victims. Just do it. Just do it. And for those of you commenting that Monty would have kept Vic high alive,
fuck you.
Get out.
How dare you.
Just get out of the fandom. Get out of Ruby. Get out of everything. Get his name out your mouth. Leave. You don't get to say things like that, especially to people who are still mourning his passing. Like, no. There is nothing that makes that an excuse, especially to defend someone who has been accused by dozens, at least dozens of people of sexual misconduct. You don't get to make that decision. You don't get to use that name. You don't get to say those things. Just get out. Just get out. Bye.
Yeah. Normally I save this for the spoiler discussion, but don't be that guy. Don't be that person. And it drives me crazy that we have to have this conversation at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, I stand by Rooster Teeth's decision to do what they did. And I applaud them for taking steps to be better about how women are treated in the workplace and to stand with victims. So I say good on you, Rooster Teeth. And God forbid this ever happen again.
Mm.
But if it does, we know now that they will X that person out of the show, whatever show they're working on.
Whether it's
thank God,
Rooster Teeth, or anywhere, when it comes to stuff like this, men have to be held accountable. Everybody needs to be held accountable for this terrible behavior. And for those of you like, well, logically, but then let me throw you at this. Let me throw this at you. I'm going to throw many things at you, but this is I'm going to do this with words. If you want to look at it from a business perspective, here's a man who is being accused of all of these things. And do you want that those accusations or any of that associated with your brand or your company? No. What do? You get rid of them. That happens all the time. This is something that happens almost, not for this same exact thing, but this is something that happens at least once or twice a year in professional wrestling. This is something that I'm very familiar with, and somebody is going to hire him. That's goes without saying. Somebody's going to hire him. He's had a long career. If they don't, he's got a lot of money. He's been working for years. So like there's a lot here that's more than there's a lot more, but the baseline is believe victims. And if you want, just like Katie said, if you want to boycott Rooster Teeth, oh, I'm not Ruby. I'm not watching Ruby anymore. Get out.
Bye.
Who cares?
Bye, Felicia.
Who fucking cares?
I also want to say, in addition, and then we need to wrap up and actually move on talking about the series finale or season finale. Men are also victims, too. Rooster Teeth's own Josh Flanagan shared his Me Too story several months ago, maybe going on a year now at this point. So when you don't believe victims, you are also invalidating the experiences of a lot of these heroes that you claim to stand by. So, yeah, maybe don't be that guy. All right. Cool. Any other thoughts, guys, before we actually talk about this fun cartoon?
Let's talk about a fun cartoon.
Let's talk about a fun cartoon.
Do it. So, evil has been defeated.
Yay!
I posted that GIF. I regret nothing.
And just like that, we've solved all the problems of the world.
We're not even close, but we've solved that one.
That problem will be gone forever. Step in the right direction. All right. Let's talk about this fun cartoon. Guys, what did we think of this as a season finale? Mark, let's start with you.
I mean, they sort of laid everything out here. This was the resolution. There weren't too many, like, quote-unquote surprises. There were some great moments, but I loved the old-school 80s rousing theme for when Ruby activated her power by her own volition. And you can see Carrie's absolute love for Gurren Lagann in this episode.
Yeah!
And I thought it was a great way. Oh, God. Even just the 5 seconds that we got with Atlas is such a telling tale of where we're going in Volume 7.
Stacey?
I love how this episode made everything feel, again, like things are clicking into place. Everything's really slotting together with our characters. We've seen immense character growth. And it's stuck in this episode. We've made forward progress within their relationships, within the roles that they now fulfill, and how they view and treat each other. I think that was a really important step to see played out.
I think this was a very solid finale. I think that Mark and Stacey are both right in that this is the last little bit. If we've set all of this up, and then we started the dominoes falling, and these are just the last few that we're seeing in terms of character arcs and development, in terms of plot developments. Just it was very well put together. I enjoyed it quite a bit. And the Penelope flailing at the plane made me very happy. Just those little big head, little arms, poorly thought out plan.
I've said this a lot this season, but this episode had a little bit of everything. It was very well balanced. You're right, Mark, there weren't really a ton of surprises, but oh my gosh, all of the resolutions that we get were just so satisfying.
Sometimes that's the better option, is just finish the arcs that you're making.
Sometimes I don't need to be surprised. Sometimes I don't need that, like, twist or whatever. Although there was, like, one or two bits where I'm like, oh, I didn't see it happening this way. So, the build-up to Ruby using her power, I didn't see it going down exactly like that. But it was marvelous. Before we start talking about Team Ruby, though, we check in with our villains real quick. guys, we finally get to see Neo's semblance.
Illusions for everyone and everything all the time.
Is it illusions or, like, can she straight up materialize things into being? Because that seems borderline magical to me.
I think she's kind of got a hard light thing going on. Because if you notice, when it broke, that ship was still there. And then her doubles, are whatever they are able to fight for her. So I think she's kind of got a hard light illusion thing happening, but yeah, whatever's at the base is still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have to ask, Stacey, what did you think of the new outfits?
I need to cosplay it.
What a good outfit.
It's a great streamlined design and just wonderful.
How does she keep the arm things up? They're not attached to the coat.
That's where the magic comes in.
She's always running her semblance just a little bit to keep the illusion that they both look perfect.
I mean, yeah. I love this, especially the fact that she's wearing Torchwick's hat so proudly. And I love that, like a lot of Ruby designs over the course of the last several years have been, like, increasingly more and more Square Enix-esque. Like, they just keep adding belts. And pretty soon, I feel like by the time this series comes to a close, everyone's going to look like a Final Fantasy character. And I am all about that.
You say that like a lot of people don't already. Winter started there.
That's fair.
Then it's going to be zippers. Then it's going to be plaid.
It's a whole just downward spiral. It's going to be great.
But their hearts are already connected, and the power of friendship actually does work to kill the darkness here.
If this series ends with Crescent Rose turning into a giant key, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
Scream.
All I can say is that Atlas looks like a great place to look for ingredients.
Oh, no!
I've been tweeting those back and forth with Molly for like for the past week or so. It's been great.
Also, my dream.
But also randomly on a super tiny tangent, somebody cut a Spider-Man PS4 trailer to the Kingdom Hearts Utada song is, and it
Face
works.
My fears.
Face my fears, and it works perfectly.
I'm about this.
Yeah, I'll
please
share
link
it.
Me that.
Yeah, I'll share. Yes.
Is it filled with spoilers for the game?
She is still unspoiled for Spider-Man.
Not really, because they're launch trailer. It's trailers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'll double check though before I leave.
The game is now in the apartment, so it will get played at some point.
It came with the PS4, which is currently my Kingdom Hearts machine.
All right.
Sorry for that.
Do we have any final thoughts on sort of again this team up? They're heading to Atlas together, and freaking Cinder.
Can we talk about her new outfit?
She's gorgeous,
girl. What is with the little peacock thing that she's had going on for a while?
Maybe there's something there. Maybe, I mean, if we're going with the Cinderella thing, that could be the grandeur of the horses that the mice turn into with that little poof.
I just really Deep love cut. The way her grim arm just dangles just underneath the short of shawl thing that she
Yeah, giving an Auron kind of look.
Yeah, it looks really, really cool. And yeah, she's making it work. but she has this line about, you know, it's a throwback to Volume 3. Mm-hmm. Somebody once asked me if I believed in destiny, and I'm happy to say I still do. And that's the note we leave these two characters off until the next season. It's a nice reminder why we should hate her, even though she's not
You look good, but you're still terrible. You're beautiful. You're
You're beautiful, you monster.
Somebody, I already lost it, but somebody went, Destiny's a bitch. I'm gonna find it.
I really hope that when she gets her comeuppance, someone around her says, this was inevitable, this was destiny.
It was Nick Roche.
Thank you, Nick, that was lovely. All right, any final thoughts on Neo and Cinder and what they might be doing?
Nope.
All right,
Time.
Let's talk about Team Ruby. Guys, Cordovan is stuck. The Grim is heading towards that first barrier, which, much like Pacific Rim, that barrier proves to not be super effective.
Never build a wall. They don't work. Stares into the camera pointedly.
Walls are stupid and dumb.
Mark's nailing it over there. Yep.
We learned this in Pacific Rim. We're learning this here. Hopefully these are lessons that we can apply on a larger scale. Yeah. I mean, hell, in Attack on Titan, they worship the wall. You see where that got them? Nowhere.
That's what happens when you put too much importance on a wall.
Literally nowhere because they didn't leave.
But I mean, you know, the Titans were all drug dealers, so...
I think I'm a little more behind than I thought.
Hold on. I have a lot
No.
Okay.
No, I crossed the streams and it blew back on me.
We're talking about Ruby.
Are we?
Team Ruby, you know, Cordovan's stuck in her giant robot. And, you know, Team Ruby has to make the decision. Do they use this opportunity to fly away and make their escape? Because all of their mobile units are kind of occupied right now dealing with the Leviathan and all the other flyy bits that are hanging out around the city. But, of course, being Team Ruby, they can't just turn and run away when innocent people's lives are at stake. So they go straight in. And I really loved the fact that you could still hear Ruby over the radio even after they said, no, we're not going to help you. You stole our stuff and messed up our robot. No, we're not helping you.
Okay, we'll just do it ourselves.
That was a case that showed the Atlas for who they were, but also protocol. Like,
yeah,
we don't like same similarly with Maria. We don't have any old women pilots, so this doesn't make any sense. No, so yeah, it made sense, and it gave just one last hurdle for Team Ruby to get over.
Stacey, what did you think of the moment when, you know, before Ruby can even say anything about how we should go help? Everybody else chimed in before she even got a chance to speak.
I mean, they're thinking just as quickly in this point too, right? Like everyone, they're all big damn heroes. They're all going in to help. So I think it's interesting that they're all ready to go, but also willing to defer back to Ruby when she's like, all right, here's what we're doing.
Yeah. I just love she's been leading by example all the entire volume. And so, yeah, without her even needing to make another rousing speech, everyone was just ready. Everyone was just ready to do the right thing.
She'd made all the requisite rousing speeches.
There was a stockpile.
You only need 10 minutes to raise everyone else's hit points. It's fine. Mantle of leadership looks good on her.
She hit her quota for rousing speeches probably halfway through this season.
And then just kept doing them.
Yeah,
Crow needed a few.
Yeah, he really did. But yeah, so they basically determined that they're going to use Ren's ability to cloak themselves so that they can get right up in the Leviathan and she can use her power. Mark, what did you think of the moment where, you know, she was trying and then it didn't work?
Well, it was more so of just the really mean. It's a couple things. It's one, the fact, the quote unquote mean thing where Ruby couldn't focus because of how terrible everything looked. So she started thinking of all the negative things, and we saw flashes of stuff that we as an audience have seen, and that. But that also kind of helped us enter her mindset and have those same feelings, so that things really did look their darkest. And no, I would be hard pressed. Like, I'm happy for you if you did it, but I won't believe you unless I saw you reacting to it as it happened. Did anybody think that she was going to call on Jin?
No.
Because, and I think using the quote unquote graphic imagery of Pyrrha and Penny and all of that stuff was a great way to just go, hey, everybody think about this sad stuff while we pull a fast one on you.
Yeah, it was a really effective method.
Mm-hmm. They were also beautifully drawn, too. That was incredible art.
Yeah, Ruby. Painful. Ruby in the past has, you know, when it chooses to go to 2D animation instead of, you know, inhabiting its 3D space, it's usually for, like, still shots like this. I think the last set we got were when we were being introduced to Mistral. And so all of these stills were really, really gorgeous. Stacey, did you have a favorite
of the stills?
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh, honestly, just the four girls when they're sitting, kind of laying back, looking up at the sky, just kind of on a wall somewhere. It's just so. It kind of just really encompassed their whole relationship and all the growth that we've seen them in one image. And yeah,
yeah. But sadly, it doesn't work. And yeah, she calls on Jin, and Jin's not really super pleased. She, to quote Aladdin, since Jin is definitely a huge genie reference from Aladdin, she's like, "All right, but no more freebies."
throw more freebies.
Honestly, I read this. This is probably the most amusing thing that's happened to Jin in 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. Let's be real. This is probably just like, literally, no one has ever done this before. Let's see what happened. Oh, it's... Okay, well, I can't let her start a pattern for this one, but I like her.
That would set a very bad precedent.
Oh, yeah. Look, I've only ever talked to Oz. It gets kind of boring sometimes. He's always brass tacks. I like this. I can't encourage it, but I like it.
No one ever summons me just to say hi. Everyone always wants something from me.
It's like, yeah, you get one.
Everybody gets one. Well, no, only you get one.
Yeah, no one only else. You. Nobody else ever gets one. There was one ever, and you just got it.
Yep. Like, honestly, it totally read that she was impressed with Ruby and kind of just like, oh, that was really clever. You don't see that kind of cleverness very often.
Yeah, I guess she. Go ahead.
Oh, definitely bending the rules, but.
So, that was clever, and even though you didn't ask, I'll give you some knowledge. So I think it was Jin kind of leading her towards the better things.
Yeah, and this is when we finally get it. And this is where we finally get our first, you know, non-photograph, like, flying by shot of Summer Rose. And
confirmation that she has silver eyes. Had silver eyes. Sorry about that.
Oh,
ouch. That was not on purpose, believe it or not.
Yikes. I want to give a real quick shout out to Malachroma on Twitter. You know, always on point, Malachroma. Me finally getting 0.2 seconds of Summer Rose lore, like an insert Brooklyn Nine-Nine meme here.
I'm not familiar with it. What is it?
I've only had Summer Rose for a day and a half, but if anything happened to her, I would kill everyone in this room and then myself. And as an added bonus, Mal photoshopped Summer Rose's face onto the puppy and their own a drawing of their own face onto the
Rosa,
the officer. Yes.
Beautiful.
There were two schools of thought that I saw in the fandom, and if you tweeted this at us, I apologize for forgetting. But somebody said that Jin's piece of knowledge wasn't, hey, you can only do this once, but was putting an image of her mother in Ruby's head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. I'm down with that. I absolutely support
that. I think that was
that.
In our Discord.
I believe
our
so.
Discord.
Our Discord.
That you, yeah. That there's a link for in the chat right now.
Oh, you should.
And
join
down below
that.
In the description.
If you want to hear more theories or theorize with people yourself, maybe you should use that link.
What? Find out stuff about the team before we tweet about it.
What? Oh, all right. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit more later. Guys, so it works. She activates her silver eyes. We get this swelling, like, yeah, as you were saying, 80s anthem, you've got the touch moment. It was fantastic. But unlike with the Nevermore that Maria turned to stone, it wasn't completely turned to stone all the way through. It was just encased in stone, and it started breaking out, which makes me think that our wyvern friend back at Beacon is probably still in there.
I'm pretty sure Kevin is, like, straight up stoned.
I don't know, man.
Chilling, man.
I'm pretty sure through he's and through because...
Chilling 420?
I think he's powerful enough to, if it had just been a thin layer of stone, to have broken out. And keep in mind that this time around was, okay, I have to do this. And that initial first time was emotional explosion. So I could see that first time having exponentially more power than this one now, just because of the force that was behind it.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think the sheer duress she was under had an effect to really finish that fight, whereas this was more of a concentrated effort. And yes, trial by fire, but also she set it up. And with that kind of foresight, you don't always get exactly the results you hope for, or the power of them either.
Yeah. Fair point. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, as we see, it starts breaking out, and we have a moment of, like, oh, no. Oh, shoot, that was the last thing I had. That was the last tool I had in my arsenal.
Quick, do it again.
This was supposed to fix everything.
Like, oh. Oh.
But, again, leading by example, finally somebody comes around. Cordovan, as you pointed out, Mark, pulls the Gurren Lagann.
Like, full reference, like, splash page, and with the drill, it's exactly that.
It was beautiful.
And the frame rate difference, too. Matt, you pointed that out the first time we watched it.
Yeah, it definitely, like, turned into an anime for a second. Mark, I wanted to ask, did you... And is Cordovan's turn something that you saw coming?
I figured something along the lines of I have to help the people of Argus. Or I figured something that would be a little bit more selfish than what she did. But something.
Stacey?
I liked the kind of arc through the episode. We kept getting little flashes of her. And at first she's ranting and raving, telling Ruby it's her fault, it's all their fault, you know, she has nothing to do with this. And then she starts listening to what's going on. And I like, we see that moment of change. And then it's like, oh, no, she's going to reprioritize now and remember what's most important. So I liked seeing her arc through this episode. I thought it was handled really well.
Yeah, they made the point that a lot of this conversation was still happening over the radio and that Corda was still listening in on the radio feed. So she heard Ruby say, well, you're not getting any support. Cool, we'll do it anyway. Like, oh. Because they could have just left in the chaos. Yeah. It was a possibility. Maria pointed it out.
No, they did the right thing. Mm-hmm. And talking about, you know, actions speak louder than words. You know, not only did Ruby impress Jin, she impressed Cordo. Mm-hmm. So much so that Cordo's like, yeah, just go. Like, it's fine. I'll bury it in my report. It's fine. Bye.
But that, so Cam brought up a point that I was going to bring up is my one tiny little issue with that scene is they're talking really quietly and they're far enough away in the middle of the ocean where the wind, the battle, the grim, the people screaming on the coast, there should have been a lot more like B-noise that could, hey, thanks forever. Like they should have been shouting at each other. Exactly. However, I make the concession because it was a very nice scene.
Yeah.
And they weren't, like, initially I thought they were, like, really far away, but they were probably maybe 30,
but, like,
40
Ruby
feet.
Ruby also was like, I'm sorry, and I'm...
No, yeah, but that's really quiet.
It's really quiet, so yeah. What? I said I'm sorry!
Like, if emotion makes your voice carry, it's fine.
And I can...
The placement of the camera carries sound, don't you know that?
But yeah. Also the way that the cockpit of the robot was, could have made Cordovan's voice... like directed right at her, but Ruby going up, hey, I'm sorry. Like she, I know she wasn't bubbly.
We didn't even mention that. How cool is it that she awesome? she was surfing on Weiss's summon? That's just awesome.
Oh yeah.
Do we have any final thoughts on this fight in Cordovan's turn before we take a break to make a quick announcement?
I do appreciate the riding wasp. Not gonna lie, we've seen it twice, and I hope it comes back.
That is a trick to keep in their arsenal for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, guys, it's time for you to listen in. And guys, don't skip. I know some people skip the iTunes shout out part. Please don't skip. We have a lot to talk about right
yes.
now.
Yes. First, we want to thank a couple of people. Last week, we talked about a very sensitive subject when it came to Adam and his quote unquote treatment by the writers. And I say it like a dork on purpose. But we want to thank a couple of people that helped spread our message about it. We appreciate Nathan J. Zaxson, who tweeted out us and in support, and we really appreciate that. And then Lee stays dabbing. First of all, thank you. Second of all, we really appreciate that. We really appreciate you posting that clip, and it got around. And yeah, we're about positivity. Don't treat the writers or any of the crew with disrespect. They're making this. They're putting in a lot of time. A lot of time that you don't see in the behind the scenes stuff. They're putting in a lot of time for this show and to refine their craft and. Refining this turns into stuff like Nomad of Nowhere, turns into Genlock. These are all the same people that go on to make all of these different shows. So we love you. But we also got an iTunes review. So I want to take this opportunity while I'm scrolling to thank Midnight Ice 91, who left us I think on the Brazilian iTunes store, Editar Opinião. Yeah, I think that's. Yeah. Hey guys, great show as always. It's great to hear all the theories, predictions, and comments you provide. I appreciate that each episode is spoiler-free for the next, since I'm not a first member. Other channels don't seem to care if you've watched the next episode and will spoil it, so thank you. I don't watch Camp Camp or Red vs. Blue, but since you guys bring them on discussions, I'll give it a try. Ruby and Nomad of Nowhere are the only animated shows I watch, and I need a crossover, but only with the Nomad and Neo. Would love to hear your opinion on that take. Thank you again, and keep the great job. That's what it says. I didn't misread it. We appreciate your reviews, and thank you to everybody who's given us reviews, and it is with that we are announcing that at the end of next week, as we are planning, Rooster Teeth Reviews is going to be leaving AfterBuzz TV. The show will be dissolving, and we are not going to be here on a weekly basis. However, this isn't anything against AfterBuzz TV.
No.
The Rooster Teeth schedule and the schedule that we want to keep just doesn't fit in with the AfterBuzz TV style. We absolutely love all of the folks here, so we are presenting a newer style, something that can allow us to cover multiple things at the same time in a matter that we choose. So, if you go to anchor.fm/theroosterteam, that is where all of our new shows are going to live. We've posted, we have a Genlock show that's doing really well.
Yeah.
Very surprisingly well. And we wanted to start with that as an experiment. And because it's doing well, we felt like now would be the time. Since we're not talking, we decided not to talk about Genlock on AfterBuzz because of the first gate. Much like Danny Costa said in his review, we don't talk about stuff that's behind a first wall. So, what that means, though, is we are able to provide more stuff off-season, deep dive conversations that are 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or an hour and 15 minutes, like our Genlock episode 1 for the pilot was, Gen Lockdown. So we've already announced some stuff that we have Camp Counselor's Corner, we have RVB Recall. Gen Lockdown is what we're focusing on right now. We have a new episode of Welcome to Vale that's going to be coming out soon. We're going to be heading back into the recording studio very, very soon to put that out. If you've ever watched our show here, we absolutely thank you. And if you want to stay here and check out all of the other stuff on AfterBuzz, that's absolutely fine. We don't want you to choose. Everybody makes stuff on the internet. Support everybody. Right now, we're sticking to the podcast game. So anchor.fm/theroosterteam. You can click through. There's iTunes. There's Spotify. There's Google Podcasts. There's a bunch of services. Or you can just use the Anchor app. But that's where we're going to be living for the foreseeable future. And if we get enough support, because there are donations and we have sponsors and things like that. But if we want to return to video, there's a lot of stuff that we want to do back in video. But for right now, we're going to be living in podcast. More information on that, go to the Rooster Team. Support us at tpublic.com/theroosterteam and anchor.fm/theroosterteam. And also our Discord. We're going to have a lot more information as stuff drops. But it's been an interesting ride when it comes to learning all of that. But we, you know, this team wouldn't assemble without AfterBuzz TV, but second of all, wouldn't assemble without Katie and Megan. They started the Ruby show, and which evolved and Red versus Blue. So I want to thank Emma Fife. I want to thank Alexis Plumley. I want to thank Patrick Dees. I want to thank Matt Lieberman. Anybody who's ever been Andrew Mena, who joined us for Camp once, mm-hmm. but that's enough. And all of the people here, we're going to go into more detail next week. We're going to be doing a season recap, like we've been doing for the past several seasons. But we just wanted to let you know that Rooster Team Reviews, as it exists now, is going to be dissolving. But we appreciate all of your support throughout this, and there's going to be much more information.
To everyone who's being sad about live chat no longer being a thing, that's what the Discord is. It's live chat all the time, but we can also participate with you guys. Like, that's 110% what it is, and we love it, and we love you.
Again, we want to thank AfterBuzz TV for all of their support. This show would not have been able to grow from the Ruby After Show to Rooster Teeth Reviews and everything that we've covered for Rooster Teeth if it hadn't been for them. We would have never gotten the opportunities to talk to talent and to meet all the great people that we've met at RTX. None of that would have been possible without their help. So we extend a warm thank you to AfterBuzz TV for everything for all of their help and hard work. And to you guys, you're the best. And we figured, you know, we'd go out the same way we came in, with a Ruby season recap.
Shucks.
Yeah.
Well, shucks. We love you guys. Thank you for everything. All right, let's get back to it. I'm not sad at all. It's
almost
fine.
Lost the happy, but the happy's back.
The happy don't stop.
Thank you. All right. So let's talk about, you know, we're on the flight to Atlas, and we get, you know, we get some wind down time. You know, everybody sort of gets a little moment in the spotlight to put a cap on their moments. We get a moment with Blake and Yang that reiterates, you know, what their relationship has gone through this season. You know, we protected each other. That was real nice.
Hashtag Bumblebee.
Hashtag Bumblebee. It was real cute. It was
Y'all
real adorable.
Yeah.
And I really like, too, that Blake, at no point, you know, did anyone make Blake feel bad for how things went down prior to the giant Grimm showing up. You know, Ruby reassures her, you're safe. That's all that matters. And yeah, I have to agree. It's so good. It's so good to see them.
I think that's almost all there is to say about that moment. We're all just like, yes.
It's perfect. More, please.
Yes. Yes.
But
another.
You know, someone who doesn't like the spotlight, Ruby. She's like, yeah, no, let's not talk about me. Oscar did a thing, everyone. Oscar did a thing.
Or did he?
Well, he did half of a thing. Look what he took credit for doing. Look, if I can make a Red versus Blue reference anywhere, I will.
For sure. But yeah, this is where we find out that Ospin, you know, stuck his door out of the mental room he's been hanging out in. He popped in to make sure Oscar didn't die for a couple minutes. So we know at some point he's still there. It's not like he's unreachable. He will be coming back at some point. I kind of have to agree with his set. I feel like it's still really terrible that he left them in this situation. But at the same time, you know what? A hands-off approach might not be a bad idea.
Yep.
Just mm-hmm. enough to be like, all right, let's not die. Okay, cool. I'm gone again. Bye. Like, aren't you the adult here? No, whatever.
Not right now.
Not right now.
And
Crow learned to be an adult, so I'm off the hook.
Speaking of, outside of the controversy surrounding the actor, Crow had a very interesting arc this season. He went to a very dark place, and it ends on a very, very positive note. Mark, what did you think about this final moment with him and Maria?
I enjoyed it. It was, to put it lightly, it was interesting watching it live and then watching it right before I came in today. But ultimately, something's going to change, and I think Crow's going to be, where we hope that Crow's going to be more responsible. And we've been saying it all season, not any of the news withstanding, but now that he's made a positive change, we still figure that his time is running short.
Yeah, Rooster Teeth made a point of saying that this is not going to change any of the content of Ruby, mm-hmm. which, you know, I'm sure people, if he does die, people are going to be up in arms about it, but like, whatever.
It's not the first time they've recast a character. It probably won't be the last. These things do happen.
Yeah. Right. Stacey, what did you think of this final moment?
So I think as effective as Ruby kind of pushing back finally and asserting herself and telling Crow that she does kind of know what she's doing, she's figuring out, she's willing to give it a try, having Maria look at him and give him positive reinforcement, I feel like that's something he has been severely lacking for a very long time. And just a small amount coming from her, I mean, we already see it starting to go a long way. And I think that's something he desperately needs in his life.
Senpai noticed him in a pause. Like, she went from calling him a screw-up in the middle of the season, because let's be real, he was, to, like, yeah, you were there for them. You did what you needed to do. Good job. Yay. She's like, oh, positive reinforcement that I actually believe. Mr. I am no one's blessing might have made a turnaround here. All I can think of is that if anyone's familiar with the Courage Wolf meme, it's a rock bottom, a solid foundation. So That's kind of where we are with Carl right now.
That's our baseline.
Oh, boy. You can only go up from here.
He crash landed into rock bottom here. Like, my entire life is a lie. And now we're building back up again. And that's good, because I was worried that we wouldn't get to this point. But no, baby steps. It's helping. You're learning to be the adult that the team needs. Good job.
To quote a different show, the steps you take don't need to be big. They just need to be in the right direction.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, that's sort of... I loved this moment. It was really... Yeah, it was a nice moment to leave off on right before we get our emotional turn. Because Atlas is giving our boys and girls a very, very warm welcome. Which means somebody snitched. They knew that they were coming. Someone snitched. Which means I think it's time for our favorite segment of the week.
Break their legs!
So, guys, for Break Their Legs, we decide whether or not somebody's legs deserve to get broken this episode. Mark, whose legs deserve to get broken, if anybody's?
I'm just going to say Tweedledee and Tweedledum. No, I'm sorry, because those were the hunters from the beginning of the show. Our card soldiers.
Yes.
Because they were probably like, as soon as the Maria thing happened, they probably sent a message instantly to, or even when the whole thing started, when Weiss was like, oh, hey, by the way, we've got Weishny coming and it's going to be on this thing. It was probably really quick. I don't think it was anything, I think it was just all protocol, but it's still very unnerving.
Stacey, whose legs deserve to get broken?
Yeah, I think those card soldiers inadvertently really messed things up. However, I would like to also possibly believe that Crow's letter reached Ironwood and he has just had the entire fleet ready and waiting for days at this point.
I forgot they are even just sent that letter.
Ready.
But he sent that letter like 3 days ago. This whole season has been over the course of 3 days.
They're very fast.
That is airmail.
The Atlas postal system is very efficient.
Look, the internet is down globally, so we really just gotta... Whoosh.
They need to step it up somewhere.
The trains run on time when they're not derailed by Grimm. Or children, I guess.
One of the few things that the Republic services that still work, even in duress, is mail. So I can imagine that nothing really changed, and also just how behind the postal service is now, like for us in our world, I'm sure that their infrastructure didn't take that much of a hit.
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't read this as anyone snitching, because Ironwood calling everyone back and being quote unquote cautious is what read to me. That's what this read as to me. Like, they've been on high alert for weeks because it's Ironwood, and this is kind of how he makes himself feel better. So I'll definitely buy the, yeah, someone sent a message saying, oh, Weiss is coming home, you know, be sure to greet her. But this whole military formation waiting for someone to attack, nah, that's probably been there for a chunk of time, and that's just Ironwood doing his best to hedge his bets.
Also, I think that island's coming down.
Ooh. You think it's going to pull like an angel island fall into the ocean?
I was thinking Final Fantasy VII, first third of the game with that Midgar.
Spoilers.
Oh my God. Everyone knows the big spoiler from the first third of that game already.
Yeah.
This is within the first hour of gameplay.
I don't want it to be that sad, so I'm just going to assume that, yeah, the Master Emerald is in Atlas somewhere, and that Eggman's going to steal it, and then it's going to fall into the ocean and be fine.
Ironwood, I'm taking that emerald.
Okay, but is he perpetually foiled by a hedgehog faunus? This is what I need to know.
Mal says, the arena didn't crash, this one effing better. That's actually, yes. Like, from a cinematic point of view, that's probably why the arena didn't crash. It's because they were saving for a crash for this one.
Ooh,
we're going to get
amazing.
A Phantom of the Opera style just...
Yes!
Excellent. On board.
Oh, I am all about it. Yeah, if this is Atlas, or if this is specifically Ironwood putting on a show, I would say let's break his legs, but one, he's too pretty, and two, those are robot legs.
One of them's already metal, let's be real.
We're not gonna break.
I don't know if I've ever heard you speak with that tone in any of the shows that we've ever done before. We need more of that.
All right, well, that's, I think, going to do it for us tonight. Guys, again, we're going...
You don't want to talk about that post-credit scene real quick?
One more thing! They did it! They did it! Flying monkeys!
Yeah, they did it!
There! They did it! She has an army of flying monkeys!
I feel like this would be... I feel like this is the... someone linked this in our Discord, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Basically, Hazel and Emerald and Mercury looking at each other, and Hazel going, so, you want to leave and start our redemption arcs? And the kids going, yep.
Yes, I don't want to be here anymore.
Did not expect to see Mercury with that horrified look at his... Like, yes. As soon as that's the first thing we saw, I'm just like, oh, God.
What happened? What's happening down there?
Him. Why does he look like that?
Especially, he's a monster aberration of science, abomination of science, and he's watching abominations of magic being created. That's a very good point.
She's playing monster creator down there, ooh, just like, and then I'll put on wings, and this is my brand new Neopet.
Poor choice of words.
I'm just sitting, I saw it, and I was like, you sons of bitches, you did it, you leaned in, and I'm so happy.
They leaned in so hard, they're horizontal.
And if anybody saw the Barangels in the Ruby trailer from Volume 4 and went, oh my God, they're doing flying monkeys, you should get hired, just in general. Like, it was right there, and we were all just like, and like, I was watching it with Andrea, and she was just like, yeah, I've just been waiting for them to do it. And I was like... Like, as it was happening, as, like, the seal went on the back, I went, oh! And she was like, yeah, whatever.
How did you not see that?
I can't believe I didn't, like, think that that was a possibility. It was not even in the realm for me, like.
See, my brain looks at gorillas and goes, oh, Donkey Kong. Doesn't really think about, like.
Because it's apes, not monkeys.
All right. Well, guys, on that note, again, we are going to be talking about the season recap next week for our final episode. So please, please, please tune in. We want to see you there for one last hurrah. We love you all. Katie, where can people go if they want to find you?
I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you like reactions to this stuff and also reactions to Genlock, they live on that channel. I am also on an Overwatch podcast called On the Point.
I'm Stacey Shuttles. You can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttles. You can also find me over at Nerds Making Stuff. I've got a couple of Ruby-inspired pieces, including one I'm wearing, which I'll be putting some pictures up later as we get closer to our recap.
Mark Bidonica. Find me on Twitter at Mark Bidonica. If you want to hear a fun interview that I did with my wife, with friend of mine, Ken Knapsack, we did something for his radio program called The Knapsack Files. I've been linking it all day. I highly recommend it because it's really cute, I gotta say. It's pretty adorable. But if you want to support us moving forward, The Rooster Team on Twitter, The Rooster Team on Anchor.fm, The Rooster Team on TeePublic, and our Discord, which has been put in the chat down below several times for live, and it will also be in the description. But yeah, thanks for everybody for all of the support, and we'll see you in the Discord, and we'll see you on the internet. If you're watching Genlock, if you have a first subscription and you're watching Genlock, we are doing a Genlock show on our podcast feed. It's called Genlockdown, and it's a new type of format, but it's a lot of fun. The show is great, and some of our opinions may surprise you.
And a quick shout out to Charles Hockenberry on Twitter for the great screen cap from Ruby, and for Jester's Chessboard, who drew Ruby with a keyblade, with a scythe keyblade. No. It is fantastic. And I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I also do a Lost retrospective podcast called No Love Lost. Be sure to check that out. Thank you guys so much for watching. And remember,
dust you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only. They do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.